Final hour of 3D here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren and Derek with you. Coming up a little bit later in the hour, you'll hear from Brad Nessler, who will be in the booth on CBS's Game of the Week with Gary Danielson, and we'll wrap up the show with SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. Before we get to our next guest, Adam Sparks, who's standing by, we'll talk about Vanderbilt's trip here yesterday. Let's get Jerry in Columbia. Jerry, what's going on?
Hey, gentlemen, how y'all doing today? My question is, who is going to be the next Clemson, the giant killer, to take over for Alabama, the early decades champion?
Okay, we'll talk about it. Thank you, Jerry, for the phone call. So we had fun with this yesterday. Remember when Rachel Barbeau stopped by and said that we always have to preference Adam Sparks from the Tennessean here at our table with us, Vandy beat writer. Take Alabama out of it. You know, we have to always have that question. Take Alabama out of it. Then who? So, take Alabama out of it. Or who's the next Alabama? When this run ends, whenever that
if
is.
If it ends.
Yeah,
when Nick decides to hang it up, I mean, that's when it's going to end. It's not going to stay at the same level.
It's like saying, let's take Tiger Woods out of the early 2000 majors. And who else do you have? I mean, Clemson will still be there for a while. They've recruited well. Clemson, actually, this year went in and got a lot of guys that were either committed or were assumed to be going to SEC schools. They got a few from Alabama. They got a few from Tennessee. So I think Clemson would be a team nationally, again, that's going to challenge Alabama. Within the conference, I turned in my poll, actually, last night, and Auburn's got a chance. I don't see anybody in the East. Georgia will have a shot if they can find a defense, because they do have a quarterback and they have two running backs. There's enough on offense. But, you know, it's Alabama and everybody else, which, by the way, we've had this debate. Joe Rexroad, my colleague, and I have had this debate for a while. Is this good or bad for the SEC? I don't like it that much. For a while there, I liked the, hey, look, Alabama is the best thing that's come around in a long time. But the lack of competitiveness in this league, I'm not real comfortable with it. I want somebody else to challenge them.
Well, at least in the West, you've had some teams rise up and do that. LSU, you had Auburn. I mean, at least some teams have had, and you know, with Mississippi State and Ole Miss a couple of years ago, we're not too far removed from there. You know, number one in the country. But in the East, you just haven't had any of that. I mean, nobody that scares anybody.
And maybe that's my perspective of being a kid in the late 80s, 90s, especially the 90s. I remember the East. I remember the Spurriers and the Fulmers, and I knew of Vanderbilt then. And, you know, Georgia had some really good teams. I remember the East being where a lot of national title contenders were. And it's not that they've got to have that every year, but they've got to have somebody. And, you know, a lot of coaches right now in the East are being looked at as, shouldn't you be better than this because everybody around you is mediocre? I mean, we can see that with Butch Jones right now. If you go out to Knoxville, you know, the cry is, okay, you won 9 games, but look who you're with. You should be winning in a weak East right now. And eventually somebody's going to kind of take that as kind of the beast of the East, but I really don't know that I see it this year.
We had Kyle Shermer join us at the table yesterday, and he said Vanderbilt was the best dressed of any of the groups. When you look at Coach Mason yesterday, he brought it. He brought it. The players brought it.
It was coordinated. The whole bunch was coordinated. There was some like different shades of gray in there. Shermer looked really good for his first time. I think he had kind of a dark gray. You saw some of the other schools. I remember Darius Geis of LSU came, and he had like a
hot pink.
Yeah, it was like a Pepto pink almost. I mean, I liked it, but he didn't really match with the other guys with him.
The Pepto pink. That does paint the picture. Well done.
But you know, Mace came in, and I even asked him if it was coordinated. He said, "No." He said, "We're all just smooth in the same way." You know, and so you could see that though. It looked like those four guys went together and said, let's get dressed kind of the same way.
Watching, because obviously we're on the air, it's going on upstairs, you're in the room, just trying to watch it from afar, meaning downstairs on Twitter. It seems like from what I was reading from folks, Derek Mason seemed pretty confident in his approach yesterday. You can see where he's starting to you know, feel his role as Vanderbilt's head coach, comfortable in this spot. Do you agree or disagree?
You can see him getting incrementally more confident each year, and it's different than – remember the first year he came in and said, hey, you know, we're going to go win 10 games or whatever it was. We're going to win the East.
We're here to win East titles.
Yes, yes. And that was a false confidence. That was fool's gold. That was, you know, just coming in trying to be brash just to kind of fill out the suit. I think he's past that now. And I think incrementally he's got more confident because, you know, we've talked about this in past years. He took over the defense and he knew, this is what I do. I'm better than most at defense. And when that succeeded, he got a little more confident. Okay, I've kind of found my niche as a head coach. And then going to a bowl game, recruiting very well, especially over the last month, the best month he's ever had recruiting at Vanderbilt. And, you know, going to the bowl and getting the extension of the contract, then I think all of a sudden the confidence has grown a little bit more. He at least went to Media Days this time not saying we're going to win. He came to Media Days this time saying we did win. And, by the way, the Tennessee win, you know, eclipses any three or four wins combined that he's had. Beating UT, I think, kind of gave him that extra boost coming in this year.
Well, especially, Adam, after, you know, all of the hoopla about UT coming into the season and what UT had to play for. Vandy had something to play for, too.
Yep.
But UT, it was either Sugar Bowl or whatever else. And to beat them in the fashion that they did, they racked up over, I think, 400 or 500 yards against this team, scored over 30 points. That should have given you confidence. But I think most importantly, the thing that has given him confidence, I don't think it's the defense. I think it's his quarterback. Now he thinks he has a really good quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you got to win in any league at any level. You've got to win with a quarterback. You have to have not necessarily the best player on the field, but you have to have a guy that you believe in. And they believe in Kyle Shurmur now. You know, we were talking to him the other day. I guess it may have been part of the conversation yesterday. And, you know, he was given about 20 to 30% of plays that he could use up at the line of scrimmage, that he could audible to, that he could check to. He's going to be given more of about 70 to 80% this year. They're going to kind of just let him loose. You know the offense. You know what you're doing. Go do it. And that's just – you've seen a little bit of that just more and more late last year. I think by the fact that they threw the ball so well late in the season against Ole Miss, against Tennessee, I think they said this guy can do it if we let him do it.
Yeah, and if he can come around as he did last year with the way Coach Mason puts together a defense, Ralph Webb coming back, I think that's kind of the untold story too as well. Ralph Webb deciding to come back to Vanderbilt. He's a guy that tends to, you know, float underneath the radar, but you look at the numbers, he is just as good or maybe even better than a lot of these top running backs, not just in the SEC but in the country.
He's Ralph's durability has been good all the way through. He's never missed a game, never missed a start. But what's helped him kind of become a better back is he's been really good in the offseason. His speed has improved. His strength has improved. But he has been spelled by other backs. And really about the strongest, maybe the strongest position on Vanderbilt's team are the running backs beyond Ralph Webb. I mean, they've got three or four guys behind him and some redshirt freshmen that are coming up that are the best of their class. And so that's only going to get better. If they can run the ball as well as they have and Shurmur can limit interceptions, limit turnovers, and throw it anywhere close to what he did late in the season, you really just believe at this point Derek Mason's defense is going to be good. Zach Cunningham's not there. That's okay. Somebody else will step forward, and they will be pretty good on defense. If you can get both sides of the ball to be that competitive, take steps forward, then you're looking at another bowl year.
Do you know what worries me?
What's that?
Their schedule.
Yeah.
Their schedule's brutal. It really is, at least on paper. When you look at their first four games, first six games, let's just say. Let's just cut it off there. Alabama A&M is the only cupcake.
Yeah.
You start off down in Murfreesboro against MTSU, and I know last year I was at it. That was the lightning delay, and Vanderbilt came back and just owned them after the delay and ran away with it.
I don't like that as an opener because that offense will come out ready to go from play one.
MTSU is going to score a lot of points. Vandy's going to have to score. I know their defense is good, but they're going to have to score, and you don't want to be in one of those shootouts with MTSU, I don't think, at the beginning of the season. Then you've got Kansas State at home.
Won 9 last year. Yep, good
Alabama
team.
Alabama at home. at Florida, Georgia at home. That's their first six games.
Yeah, I mean, they could be they could be better this year than last year and be 0-3 in the SEC. And so that's going to be one of those tests of the fan base, not to rely too much on show me something now. Now you got to beat MTSU and they'll beat Alabama A&M Kansas State is a good team, but that's a game that Vandy can win. But you know, you can't just say, hey, show me now. You got to win now, and that's going to tell us that last year carried over into this year. Most of Vandy's wins should come in the second half of their schedule, not the first half.
Where is the whole stadium issue, Adam? Where is this headed?
You see me.
I know.
Right there. It's moving faster and faster toward sharing a stadium off campus at the fairgrounds with an MLS club.
Is that a good idea? I don't think that's a good idea, my personal opinion.
I started out with first reaction. My knee-jerk reaction when I first heard it was that is the worst idea I've ever heard. I have leaned a little more toward it may be okay. But the way that I take it is this. If that's what you do, and you go in and you win year one, you win seven games, win eight games, whatever, then you say this is unique to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's unique anyway. You're not going to look like everybody else in the SEC. This is a home field. It's unique. Yeah, it's off campus, but it looks different. It'll be well done because MLS only does good stadiums. A lot of amenities, all that. It's going to be, hey, okay, you know, this is our home stadium. It's different, but we win here. It's different than anybody else. If you go in and you're bad year one, people will abandon it, and the problems they already have that they will have of people not going off campus to games will only be magnified then. Because right now, if you're bad at Vanderbilt, if you have a bad year, 2-3 wins, people aren't coming. If you're off campus and you're losing, nobody can. It only gets worse.
What is it going to hold?
Well, there's been talk of the MLS side of it would be 25 or so, I think, and then I think it would be mid-30s maybe for the football side. I don't think the size is going to be an issue.
What are they going to be, retractable seats? I mean, how's that going to work?
There's different ways that you can
tarp it off?
You can do that. You know, Thompson Bowling Arena back at UT used to do that for Lady Vols games, and so there's a number of options that they're still looking at.
I realize John Ingram's behind this. Can't he do both? I mean, he's behind both movements. Can he do both?
Well,
I mean, his wallet should allow both to happen.
Well, his wallet, not to speak too much for John Ingram, but he does have two projects there that he can combine into one. I think this helps him. And he is a very, very loyal Vanderbilt supporter.
Of course.
As loyal as they come in terms of his checkbook. But he does have two things he would like to get done, and he can get, you know, two into one if he does it this way. I think it's a delicate thing. I think where Vandy either has to accept that, say this is what we're getting, let's go that direction, or push back a little and, you know, take the risk of not getting either one, not having any option there. Stadium on campus, off campus, or elsewhere.
By the way, I'm good at spending other people's money. It's pretty easy.
I can do it too.
What's the big deal, John?
Right. Just build stadiums everywhere.
Just like to check out, build it. Yeah.
And I realize a part of this is just the there's not a lot of room on Vanderbilt's campus. There's not a lot of room to work with.
I will say I do like how there's not a lot of room, but the baseball field. Basketball, football, right now that's all in one complex. You can reach out and touch another one from one. And I like that. I like college campuses that you say, this is the athletic corner of campus.
Then take down the stadium, play a year at Nissan, and
build it up
and
again.
Build it up again.
Yeah, I think that can work, but, you know, who's going to pay for it? And the guy that can pay the most for it, I think, is really looking at saying, I've got this other project over here, and those could work together real well.
It's not us paying for it. We do know that.
Yeah.
Adam, always good to see you. Thanks for doing this.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Adam Sparks from the Tennessean, Vandy beat writer. We'll come back with more of 3D next.